Yeah, I didn't talk with Kathy, I believe, who put together the worship. It's like we would have called each other, you know, and said, hey, this is what I'm going to be talking about. It's amazing how the Lord works, isn't it? Well, praise the Lord for Kevin that he's home. He's out of his misery and suffering, and yeah. So I'm a fill-in again for the Sunday school class, and now sorry you get a double whammy of Mike this morning. I ride with a group called Life Cycles. It's a Christian ministry. It says the mission of Life Cycles is to build young men and women of character in Christ-centered bicycle touring adventure experience. We ride bike, and we tell them about Jesus. Go to the next slide. We do this during the summer months. Weeknight rides, they have girls' team that meets in Lititz, a boys' team at the River Trail in Marietta on Tuesdays. Wednesdays, a boys' team meets in Lititz. And Thursday at Aherr Park in Landisville. And then on Saturdays, we'll go for longer rides. And then we also have what's called an extreme challenge ride, which is like a 1 or 2 week ride during the summer. Every time we meet for a ride, we start with prayer. And we break into different ride groups according to your abilities. And we go out and ride for an hour and 15 minutes, sometimes an hour and a half in longer summer days. And they come back and we feed them a hot meal. Every time we meet, it's a hot meal. And then we have a devotional and pray again. And we encourage these kids. We have a curriculum we work through, and we encourage the kids to do it. And if they go through the whole thing, they get this Life Cycles jersey. It's a nice thing like I'm wearing here that they can earn. Doesn't have to pay for it. All this is free. They don't even need a bike. They don't need a helmet. They just show up, and we have bikes we can give them, helmets. We give them shirts, these blue Life Cycle shirts that you can see the boys wearing. The girls have green. And they just come, and we just love on them and minister to them. And that's a great thing. New Beginnings does support Life Cycles ministries. We take offerings here, and so the money goes to support this ministry. So this is one of the week. Actually, we're a two-week-long ride we were on. Scott, you can go to the next one. So 2 years ago, I went across the nation with a Life Cycles group. That was unusual. We don't usually do that. But this year, I was on a two-week ride from July 30th to August 12th. It was 14 days, no rest days. We rode every day. It was 853 miles, and we had 41,000 feet of elevation gain, which, if you don't know, that's a lot of hills. It's a lot of hills. And this shows you our route here on the map. We started at Niagara Falls. We actually had a van with a trailer with our bikes in. And so when we got to Niagara Falls, we just took out our bikes and rode to Lubbock, Maine, which is the most eastern point in the United States. And so each of those different colors is each different day. You can go to the next slide. So here's our team. On the end is Dan, and then Al, Xander, Aaron, AJ, Kyrell, Michelle, Silas, and myself. There were 5 boy riders and 4 leaders. Kevin in the bottom corner here was our SAG driver. It means support and gear. He's the one that drove the van and pulled the trailer. And so that was our team. We were supposed to have 2 more boys, and at the last minute, they pulled out. So we had the 5, though, which was good. I'd never been to Niagara Falls. It's quite a sight. And the amount of water coming over those falls is amazing. So next slide. So we actually stayed at our hotel, which was outside of Niagara Falls a little bit, and we rode down this bike trail to get to the actual falls itself. And so that's us on there. This is the boys. You can see this is their blue Life Cycles jerseys they could earn. Each of these kids worked through the curriculum and made it. These are better kids. That's why these are the best riders in Life Cycles. That's why we could go on the longer, harder trip for 2 weeks. And so the journey begins. Next slide. What journey is not complete if you don't get a flat, right? We've always fixing flats. Of course, the boys usually don't know how to do it that well, so there I am pitching in a hand to help fix a flat tire. I've fixed a lot of flats. On a trip across the country, I think we had 46 flats across the country, so you learn to fix them pretty good. But we get on the road again. Pretty much, this is how we ride, single file, usually. We try to, if there's a way to stay off the road, we do, but oftentimes we have to ride to the left of the white line if there's not enough space. But you can go to the next slide. Our route took us by the St. Lawrence Seaway, and of course, boys will be boys, they're chucking stones in here. And my niece, Heather, and her husband and two sons live outside of Fort Drum, and they were right on our path by there. And so I met them for dinner. The rest of the guys went out to eat, and we stayed in hotels, by the way, and we went out to eat. We didn't make our own meals, we didn't camp, and the life cycles paid for it all. That's pretty amazing. It's a great opportunity for these kids. And so I met with Heather and her husband Patrick and the boys, and we had a dinner, and then she drove me back to where we were staying, and I got to catch up with them. These are milkshakes we had on Lake Ontario. My daughter-in-law Kim's mom gave us money and paid for the treat. A lot of people support us. Mary gave us candy or granola bars for the trip. So you can go to the next slide. As you go along, things come up unexpected, not just flat tires, but we had construction. Sometimes with bicycles, you can get around it, you know. There's no getting around it. So we had a detour, like a 10-mile detour, add 10 more miles to our already long trip and go around. But the back roads of New York were beautiful. We stay off the main highways, and it was just beautiful riding. You can see just nobody. The one time we fixed a flat, not a car came by the whole time we were working on it. It usually takes 10, 15 minutes. So next slide. This is Kevin. Kevin was a chef and is a chef. And sometimes we would have just had peanut butter and jelly for lunch, but this time he actually prepared beef tacos, and he brought along his carving set and actually carved our watermelon for us. Isn't that amazing? And then that's our life cycle symbol. And so then he cut it up, and we had that for lunch. Of course, I couldn't resist the Swiss rolls. Why not? You're burning the calories, so you can eat that kind of stuff. Next slide. We biked through some major cities, such as Syracuse, and many smaller towns as we're going through the New England states. Next slide. Basically, we would bike from after breakfast. We would go about 20 miles, take a little break, get water or a snack, and then keep riding. We'd eat a lunch on the road, usually peanut butter and jelly. And then we would go out for dinner, take a shower at our hotel and go out for dinner. Usually the amount was $15 is what they could spend. And so figure out what you could get for that kind of money. After dinner, we would have devotions. I was leading the devotions for the whole trip, and we would go different places. If we could get outside like this, we did. And different devotions. Actually, I put two of the devotions together for the Sunday school lesson today for the adults. They did the little quiz, too, with the different masterpieces. Next. As we went along, we went through Saranac Lake, which is the capital of the Adirondacks, which is mountains. This is the man, Pete, was our host, and we stayed in a Baptist church. He was a member of that church. He was originally from Elizabethtown, owned a lumber yard there, and moved to Saranac Lake. And his son rides with us at Lidditz on Wednesday nights. And so we had that connection with Life Cycles through this dad. And his church put us up there. He actually took us out for dinner that night and paid for our barbecue meal. And he said, there's no limit. Just get what you want. Paid for it all. He actually made us breakfast the next morning, made us egg casseroles. Next slide. And then Saranac Lake is right next to Lake Placid, which is where the Olympics were in 1932 and 1980. And he took us to all these Olympic sites, which the kids had never seen. They were fascinated, you know, to see these ski jumping hills and stuff. And then he took us to his home, which is on a lake. And next slide. And we had our devotions in his home, and he gave us ice cream then for a dessert after the devotions were over. And it's a bed and breakfast he owns there. His wife and him live on the first floor, and they rent out the top floor as a bed and breakfast. And just such a wonderful man, so kind, so nice. So you can see we're all enjoying his Adirondack place there. Yeah, next slide. On to Vermont. Lake Champlain is on the border of Vermont. We had to take a ferry across. Next slide. as we got to this island in the middle of Lake Champlain, we took these roads down to what was a causeway that went across Lake Champlain to Vermont. And you could see it was originally railroad tracks that went on here. And they, of course, over the years got rid of them and made it into a bike trail. So it's the longest bike path over water in the world. And we went for miles across this causeway that used to be where the railroad went. And there was a place where it was open that you couldn't get across. That used to be a bridge that would go open and close for the railroad. And now they have a water taxi just for bicycles that operates. You give them a little fee and they take you across and then you continue on the path. Interesting. Next. There are these moose signs all along the way because, you know, New England states, there's all these moose. New York, Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine. We look for moose. Boy, did we look for moose. Never saw a moose. This is one of the boys, Silas, and myself. I like that kind of look over the glasses. Next slide. Of course, we were in the Adirondack Mountains. We were in the Green Mountains of Vermont. And then we went through the White Mountains of New Hampshire. We were in the mountains. Uphill is where we're going. Next slide. More flat tires. Usually when we rode, we were single file, but there would be gaps. As you can see, there's a pretty good gap there to the front. And we would just... people would ride wherever along in there. The leaders, there was a leader near the front and one in the back, and we just go as we go. Sometimes we're together, and sometimes we just had gaps. Sometimes we talk, other times we just pedal and think. So, next slide. We did get through a lot of small towns, and we went through several capitals. Capital Vermont is Montpelier, and we could tell we're in New England states when you started seeing these rock walls like that. Next slide. But we did have some nasty hills. We had several days in a row that were over 4,000 feet of elevation gain. This particular day, we had 4,700. And I know in a hard day around here, it's usually like 2,000 feet of elevation. So it's double what my normal hard days are. So I had to be in shape to do this, being 65 years old. I was more than twice as old as the next person. And so it's, yeah. But I made it. The Lord was faithful. Next slide. We had road construction different places. One place here with 4 or 5 miles of this loose gravel and dust. So you never know what you're going to end up getting into. This particular day, it was so hot, and one of our leaders, Aaron, decided he's going to buy everybody a drink. Well, that was a welcome break, a nice cold drink in this little country store. Roots Farm Market, imagine that. We did make it to the top. Next slide. And then we made it to Maine, finally. Welcome home, it says. Maine, it didn't have any major mountains, but it was, you could see here from the road, this is Maine, like this, the whole way. There was nothing flat, really. It was just rolling hills. Next slide. If you ever went to Acadia National Park, you probably went across this bridge, Penobscot Bridge, across the river there, and saw some of these kind of rock things. Next slide. We splurged a little bit this one night, went a little bit over budget, and some of the kids never had eaten lobster, and so they got lobster for the first time. You gotta have lobster when you're in Maine, for goodness sake. It is cheaper there, and this would be the capital of Maine, Augusta. So, next slide. We finally made it to Lubbock, which is a little town nobody knows about, but it's the most eastern town in the United States. You can see when it was settled. We got to the sign, we thought, oh, we're almost there. Well, we weren't. We still had a number of miles to go because we weren't going just to the town. We were going to this lighthouse, which was on the most eastern point. Next slide. Quaddy Head Light, the easternmost point of the United States. That's this image I took there. Pretty place. Next slide. We made it. And the next slide. I was a tired puppy. It was a lot of riding. When you go 14 days without a break in all those hills, I was bushed, and so were the kids. This is a view out my room where we stayed that night. It was the sunset. It was the most beautiful sunset, and all these islands here in the distance are Canada. This town, there's a little bridge that goes over the water, and it's Canada on the other side of that little bridge. Next slide. The next day, we went down to see the sunrise at Quoddy Head Light and taking in the first rays of sun that hit the continental United States, and there the boys are. And the next slide. And it was time to make the long drive home, and it was a long drive from there because it's really eastern and it's pretty far north. But we decided we're not going to come back in 2 days, we're just going to come home. So it was late till we got back that night. Next slide. So what did God teach me on the trip? Well, first of all, whenever you're away from your family for 2 weeks like that or longer, you think about them, you miss them. I miss my wife, my grandkids, my kids, and don't take for granted the loved ones in your life that God has put there to encourage us. Also, God's people are everywhere. I had originally, in one of my first devotions, encouraged the kids to reach out and share their faith with others. Each of the kids on this particular trip were Christians, and so I gave them these little pop-up promises that you can open up the top, and there's a promise from the Word of God in it. And I gave this to each of the kids and the leaders and encouraged them to pray about it, and if God's prompting them to give this to somebody, that you don't really have to tell them about Jesus or anything. Just say, hey, would you like a promise from God? And just, you know, give it maybe. But some of the kids gave some out, but some of the kids didn't give any out because we didn't have as many opportunities as I thought we would to do that. I gave some out to different people, but God blessed us with his people. People along the way were blessing us and encouraging us. It was amazing. The places that we ran into people, oh, you guys are a Christian organization, and they would encourage us, and it's really neat. Next thing, just keep pedaling. There are those days that are hard, right? And there are those days where the wind's at your back, and it's going downhill, and it's a breeze, and you're just flying along, and life's good. And the next time you come to a hill, and it's raining, and it's wind in your face, and it's tough. It's a tough go. And just keep pedaling means just keep walking. Just keep going. We had one boy that had not prepared himself as he should have, and we had to wait various times for him and be patient and encourage him, and it was a struggle, but just keep pedaling. And life gets like that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Next, God's protection is real. The Lord does watch over us. We prayed. We had people, hundreds of people praying for us during the trip. We had our own prayers for our safety during the trip. We prayed for one another, but God really did protect us. There was different times where you're going through cities and cars and traffic. And I mean, there were those times where there was no traffic and we could just ride pretty much wherever. But there was times where it was pretty sketchy. Lots of traffic and people just in a hurry. And you just never know when you're riding a bike. And God did protect us the whole way. We had a couple of spills, but it was crossing railroad tracks where it just had rained. We got poured on. It was wet, and two boys went down on the same little stretch of tracks. It was kind of you have to watch railroad tracks with bicycles, because if you go parallel with them, parallel, you can easily get in the groove and go down. So God's word never returns empty or void. When you're teaching lessons each day to high school kids, you're not sure what's hitting and what's sticking, you know? You just trust God. And I did spend a lot of time preparing different devotionals and writing them and figuring out. And I had more than enough, and I didn't use some because I had just one on complaining. The kids never complained once. I thought, I'm not using that one. No need. But you wonder, and that's what God says about his own word. It will not return empty or void, but will accomplish what I purpose for it. So I was trying to be as faithful as I could. And after we got back, I talked to some of the kids that were on the trip at weeknight rides, and they commented about some of the things I had said. So I know they were listening then. So it was encouraging. But God's word does not return empty. The last thing I wanted to say is that for many of us, being Christians, maybe have Christians in your family, we don't mix it up with the world that much. And I would encourage you to ask God where he would have you go that you could be a witness for him. And sometimes we need to be intentional about what we do. I know when I was working at Hemfield at the high school and coaching track and cross country, that was my mission field. People say, what do you do? I said, I'm a missionary. Oh, where are you at? I said, Hemfield High School. I was. To the other teachers and the kids there, so many lost. But when I retired, I was like, where's my mission field now? And I really prayed long and hard about it, and God connected me to Life Cycles, because there's a lot of kids that come that don't know the Lord. And I get to speak into their lives, speak and love on them. Some of these kids come from pretty rough homes. Same thing with this place, Teen Central. I've sensed I was supposed to be part of the volunteering here. And it's difficult here at Teen Central oftentimes, but I really believe that he wanted me here to love on kids, speak into them. So where is your point of contact with the world? I don't know. I'm not saying to come to Teen Central, but maybe that is. We could use more volunteers. Maybe it's at work for you. Maybe it's, I don't know. If you don't have a place, ask the Lord. And he'll show you where he would like you to go. And Life Cycles has been a great thing for me. I meet a lot of good, godly men that are part of this program. And they really do love on these kids. And we've had kids come to the Lord, be baptized through Life Cycles. This is great. So thank you for your support of Life Cycles and for your prayers for me during the trip. We had a good time. So thank you, Lord. That's it. About our wonderful Savior, right?